For Sunday, August 4th, 2019, welcome to our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA. Today we have a special treat, guest preacher Taryn Denning, who is currently in seminary to train to be an ELCA pastor, came back and preached for us on Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Let's listen in now.
The gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 12, beginning with the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he said to them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my old barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and all these things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Now, as Pastor Arnie mentioned briefly, I am Taryn Denning. I'm a seminary student, and I was baptized here January of 1993. And last time I preached here, I had to climb up not just one step to see over the altar, but there was a two-stepped tiered thing so I could see over the altar to preach. And I've now been invited back to share in this 60th anniversary with you all, and it's an honor and a privilege to be with you again. So with that, let us bow our heads in prayer. From the words of the prophet Isaiah, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven to water the earth, causing it to bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so be the word that goes from my mouth, O Lord. May it not return to you empty, but accomplish that for which you purpose, and succeed for the thing in which you sent it, to bring life through Jesus Christ. Amen." Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He was a business owner that started his small town business from nothing. And he poured blood, sweat, and tears into this company, building it up from the ground, from nothing, to provide then a business that thrived in this small town. And this business provided services, goods, jobs, and opportunities for the community. And then came the day of his retirement. He had to decide, well, what was going to be next? Would I be handing this business down to the next generation in my family? Or would I be selling it to a new family? And would they put in the same amount of passion and love and energy that I have for this business? Would they have the same morals that I've lived in? Or will they just take and take from this company until it's drained to nothing? One thing is certain. The future of this company is not within this current business owner's grasp, and it's not his to control. She was a pastor, a powerful pastor, that had been at a congregation for a long, long time and had shaped the culture of it. The congregation had a shape and a structure to it based on her shepherding. And when it came time for her to then go to a new call, a new pastor was brought in, and that pastor took the church a different direction. Good, bad, I suppose it depends on who you ask, and their definition or structure for it. But one thing was certain, the future of that congregation was not in the former pastors, not in the current pastors, and not really in the congregation's hands. Their future was not necessarily theirs to possess. Or it's like a parent who spends years toiling and laboring over their child, trying to instill in them the same values and morals that they had been raised with. Maybe trying to make them fans of their alma mater, huh? Or maybe trying to make them their favorite football team their child's favorite football team so they could cheer together on Sunday mornings. Well, or Sunday afternoons, because you would be here, yeah. They try to instill and teach their child to be in the same political party as them, to belong to the same faith affiliation. And lo and behold, there are other influences in this child's life. And as any parent knows, they have a mind and a will of their own. And as they go off to college and study and go off in a new direction, their major changes, and it's not the degree that you all helped to pay for, they take their life in a new direction. But one thing is certain, that child's life and the future is not the parent's to hold, possess, or control. In our reading this morning from Ecclesiastes, King Solomon is having these same kind of realizations. He's realizing that the future is not his to possess or control. And he wonders aloud, what does it all mean? Was all the toil of life worth it? What will the next generation be like? Who will take up the mantle? Is it all worth something? Or is it all just vanity? And think about King Solomon for a moment. He's kind of the forgotten king. He spent his whole life living in the footsteps of his dad, the great King David, who we spend much more time talking about. Now King David had envisioned the temple, but his son Solomon is the one who built it. King David had brought together the kingdom of Israel, but Solomon had expanded and conquered far more lands, growing Israel beyond King David's imagination. King David's wealth was great. Solomon's, unimaginable. King David was a womanizer. King Solomon had hundreds of wives. So much for the wisdom of Solomon, huh? I wouldn't just say that to, I would say that same thing to a woman who had a harem of men around her. I mean, hey, I've been married for 10 months, and Corinne would tell you that one husband is more than enough. Am I right? Yeah. And Solomon looks back over the course of his life and thinks, was it all vanity? I mean, I can picture him sitting there in his robes, the finest money could buy, looking over his kingdoms and all that he's built, conquered, and expanded. And no matter what he clothes himself in, the finest shirts and pants and watches and jewelry, doesn't diminish from the fact that his body is aging, decaying, and that he will one day die. So does it really matter whether what you buy is from TJ Maxx or Nordstrom? And he looks out over the temple that he had built. His father had envisioned it. God gave his blessing, and Solomon built this temple. And he wonders about the next generation. Will they have the same kind of respect and commitment to the house of God and to the God of the house? He doesn't know that after he dies, that temple will be destroyed. King Herod later will build a new, bigger, and greater temple that's much more bold. And that temple is the one in Jerusalem that the disciples come out of the temple in Jerusalem and say, "Teacher, look at the size of these stones." And Jesus says to them, "Truly I tell you, no stone will be left on stone." You see, as long as you and I, King Solomon and the disciples, look back over our lives and measure our successes by the material and by what we think we have conquered or achieved or triumphed over, Solomon is right. It is all vanity. Or I was struck by a different direction that this took. This last Friday, as a family, we went to see Lion King, the new CGI Lion King. Now, this should be no spoilers. It's the same as the cartoon. You all have seen it 25 years ago, hopefully. And as you know, Simba has an early in life crisis, and his dad dies, and he takes credit and runs off into the desert. And Timon and Pumbaa come scoop him up and teach him the mentality, Hakuna Matata. It means? Hey, some of you have seen it. Hakuna Matata, it means? Well, this too is vanity. To say that life is this long to this long, and I can take whatever I want, and it doesn't matter what my neighbor needs. It takes Nala and Rafiki to literally knock this sense out of Simba, to get this vanity mentality out of him. This too is vanity. But that leaves us asking, is the circle of life, is that all that we get? Is the last 60 years of life and ministry here at Our Redeemers all just vanity? The answer, brothers and sisters, is no. What is not just vanity is a God that continues to give life and give new life through you in life and ministry here. We gather in this house to celebrate the life that God continues to give. And with our eyes on that gift of life, we notice that God is continuing to give new life through and among us here. And this God that gives also inspires us to share that message with the world. So it is through that very word that life is given. So we build sanctuaries for the God of this house, so that we can welcome as many as we can into this place to tell them about this God that brings new life. And there we rejoice. We rejoice that more than the physical stones are the living stones that God has raised up in and through you. I mean, consider the ways that God has given new life. It happens right here at this baptismal font, as it has for 60 years, as God gives promises through this water. Through this water, God claims and names your eternal life, setting it for you forever. And think of the number of times you've gathered around this table and had the body and blood of Christ that will sustain you into this eternal life. Think of the weddings that have happened at this church right here, where two are gathered in union, and then they become co-creators that bring new life into this world. Think of the funerals that have happened here, where faithful pastors continue to point you to the hope of the resurrection that is to come. You are the living stones. And God has given life over and over here in this place. And he continues to give new life and deliver it here at Our Redeemers. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know it's early. Come on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now you thought I was done, but I'm not quite there. What the pastor, the parent, King Solomon, you and I, and even Simba don't know is what the future in this kingdom will look like. But we do know this. God continues to deliver on his promises of new life. And we've put our full trust in God, who has given you life this day and will sustain you into eternal life forever. And we know this gift of life now and the one to come is given for us because God sent his one and only Son to live, die, and be raised from the dead to forgive you all of your sins, that you may have life in his name. That message, that word of what God has done for you gives you the freedom to not have to worry about the future anymore. The future is set, and we have a God who gives new life. So more important than the legacy you leave is the gift of life that you receive. More important than the legacy you leave is the gift of life that you receive through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in view of that, what we achieve is nothing but vanity. Vanity of vanities. So in the end, Solomon, you and I, will live this life in faith. And in faith we say, to God be the glory for this life and this ministry. And to you and me, may we continue to be God's living stones that give this promise of new life. And may we rejoice and sing to the Lord, the God of creation, who continues to raise up life in and among you, this faith-filled and faithful congregation. And for that we say, Hallelujah, Amen.